Reading from the second book of Samuel. When King David was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from his enemies on every side, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God dwells in a tent." Nathan answered the king, "Go, do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that night, the Lord spoke to Nathan and said, "Go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, should you build me a house to dwell in? It was I who took you from the pasture and from the care of the flock to be commander of my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and I have destroyed all your enemies before you. And I will make you famous like the great ones of the earth. I will fix a place for my people Israel. I will plant them so that they may dwell in their place without further disturbance. Neither shall the wicked continue to afflict them as they did of old, since the time I first appointed judges over my people Israel. I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also reveals to you that he will establish a house for you. When your time comes and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your heir after you, sprung from your loins, and I will make his kingdom firm. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall stand firm forever." Verbum Domini. Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. The favors of the Lord I will sing forever. Through all generations, my mouth shall proclaim your faithfulness. For you have said, "My kindness is established forever." In heaven, you have confirmed your faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. Forever will I confirm your posterity and establish your throne for all generations. He shall say of me, "You are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior." Forever I will maintain my kindness toward him, and my covenant with him stands firm.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Zechariah, his father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior born of the house of his servant David. Through his prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hand of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Verbum Domini. I wanted to first of all greet our new viewers in Papua New Guinea. So in the Southwest Pacific, on the island of Guinea, the eastern part is Papua New Guinea, and that includes, I think, also some islands east of that area. And we began broadcasting there on December 19th, so welcome to the EWTN family. And I think it is significant, because when I mentioned this to Mother Pascal in an email, she said, well, we've been praying for that island. We love that little island, those people. And the very day that they began to first receive the transmissions of EWTN was on the 25th anniversary of the Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament and the Monastery of Our Lady of the Angels. I hope you saw that Mass. It was one of the first things broadcast there to Papua New Guinea. And what a beautiful Mass that was with Cardinal Burke, His Eminence. Sister Michael, who is the only remaining original sister who came from Ohio, first here to Irondale when the monastery was founded, now in her 90s, I think she's 93. And she's now up in the monastery in Hanceville and doing really well. And she wrote a beautiful prayer for that occasion, that remarkable occasion, really, the 25th anniversary of this remarkable shrine. And I think, I don't know of any other shrines dedicated to the Blessed Sacrament. Perhaps there are some, but I think this is by far the most beautiful one. It's filled with light. You kind of have the sense that when you enter there, it's a church where, of course, our Lord's presence is there. He is the life and the light of the world. But just the way that Mother and the sisters designed it, it's a place where you experience light, the light of God. And so Sister Michael wrote a beautiful prayer that, if you read the article in the National Catholic Register about the 25th anniversary, this is at the conclusion of that. So I'll just read a part of it. And to think about this, that this is a nun who spent her whole life adoring our Lord, adoring him in the Blessed Sacrament. Dearest Jesus, at this time when our hearts are overflowing with gratitude for the infinite love you show us in your incarnation, we are also thankful for this beautiful shrine and monastery that you inspired Mother Angelica to build, a temple where you would always be loved and adored in the Most Blessed Sacrament. This beautiful chapel is a place where everyone can spend quiet time with you, the God of love, in adoration and intimate conversation. And then she concluded by praying for the friends and benefactors who helped make this possible. And she said, "Reward them, Lord, with the greatest gift you can give to anyone, the gift of yourself." That's what we are about to celebrate on this Christmas Eve. And it's providential, I think, you know, that that temple, that place, that shrine was supposed to be dedicated on November 21st. But because the great bronze doors got shipped to the wrong country, it had to be postponed about a month to December 19th. Well, I think it's fitting because from December 17th through the 23rd is our special preparation of preparing for the incarnation, the nativity of our Lord, the revelation of the incarnation and the birth of Christ. And so it seems especially fitting that it would be dedicated during that time. This time, Christmas time, is also a time when the sisters can write to their families and their friends. And a dear friend over the years, Sister Emmanuel, who's now in her 80s, who was first living here at the monastery and now up in Hanceville, she sent me a beautiful card. She always has these beautiful handmade things that she puts together. But she has a message that I think could be a message for all of you. And here's what she wrote. She wrote, "Dear ones, peace and joy in his heart, our home." Where do we feel most at home? In his heart. And we could say that every church with a tabernacle has a heart. That's where we'll feel most at home, close to his heart. "Dear ones, peace and joy in his heart, our home. I know you hear of so much bad stuff out there in the world. But as long as we have Jesus, we need not fear. We can be happy and full of hope," underlined. "Our sweet Father didn't leave us orphans, and Jesus came and saved us. He came and is still with us." Wow. And this is a quote, I'm not sure where she got this from, but it's a beautiful quote. "Faith is the bird that feels the light and starts to sing when the dawn is still dark." Faith is the bird that feels the light and starts to sing when the dawn is still dark. So we can sing, we can be full of hope, even in darkness. Why? Because the light has come. And on this Christmas Eve, we are awaiting in a new way him coming to us, giving to us the gift of himself, in a new way for those who've been preparing for his coming, longing for his coming, waiting for his coming. And that's the beauty of this final day here. And I wanted to comment on our Alleluia verse today. So we've had during these days from December 17th through the 23rd is the special days of preparation for Christmas, for the Nativity. And during this time, we have very ancient chant. Our choir sang them during the offertory, the O Antiphons. And at the offertory, they sang them first in Latin, and then they sang them in English. And these are different titles for the Messiah that we find in Isaiah's prophecies. And so, for example, here are some of them. O Emmanuel, that was yesterday's. O Rex, King. Radiant Light, key of David, root of Jesse, all-powerful Lord, wisdom. These are all messianic titles that we find in Isaiah, prophesying about who the Messiah will be, what will be the characteristics of this great one who is coming. And so we had these from the 17th to the 23rd. Yesterday was O Emmanuel, and that hymn that we're familiar with that we sing during Advent is based on those O antiphons, O come, Emmanuel. So it comes as a translation, really, of those great O antiphons. But these go back to very early in the church, over 1,000 years old, probably over well over 1,500 years old, used in the liturgy. And these O's express this longing. So the one we had on the 21st, which was also our Alleluia verse today, O Oriens. Here's what we heard in the Alleluia verse. This is a translation of the O antiphon. O radiant dawn, splendor of eternal light, Son of justice, come and shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death. Now that comes from Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 9. That's also referred to by Zechariah when he prophesies in today's gospel. So tonight, at the evening mass or midnight mass, we'll hear these first words of Isaiah 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. And in today's gospel, Zechariah concludes his prophecy with these words, "The dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death." So our light has come. And so this O antiphon, and here's just a little taste of it, Oriens. O radiant dawn, you hear the longing of the prophets for the one to come. And even the English translation, O come, Emmanuel, I think captures that longing for the one who is to come, this light to pierce the darkness of the night, to bring his light. You know, the Feast of Our Lady of Loreto on December 10th, I quoted the Litany of Loreto, one of the titles of Our Lady, the Stella Matutina, the morning star. Because when the darkness of the night is the darkest, there's a morning star that precedes the rising sun, the dawn, the radiant dawn that's coming. And so Mary is that one, you know, in today's first reading, that David's complaining, here I am in a house of cedar, and the ark of God is in a tent. Well, Mary is the new ark of God. So he comes to dwell in her womb. And now he is going to be manifested at Christmas in his nativity. And so, again, from the Alleluia verse today, O radiant dawn, splendor of eternal light, Son of justice, come and shine on those who dwell in darkness. Come, O radiant dawn, come and shine on those who dwell in darkness. Throughout the world, wherever these transmissions reach, even to Papua New Guinea, come and let your light shine on those who dwell in darkness, on all of us who live in darkness, the darkness of this world. We need your light to guide us. You know, the other night I was watching one of the things you can find on our EWTN On Demand. It's a very short piece, and it's called The Respite at Christmas. It's just a 15-minute piece, a film that was put together relating a true story that happened at Christmas during World War II. You may know of the Christmas truce that happened during World War I, that on Christmas, the two opposing armies in their trenches entered on Christmas Day into no man's land where nobody would go, because that's where you're going to get shot upon. And they exchanged gifts. They even played soccer because of the peace that Christ came to bring. Well, something similar in a smaller way happened during World War II, during the Battle of the Bulge, where a few American soldiers and a few German soldiers come to this same house where there's this mother with her young son, and they shared a meal together. See, that's what Christ brings. He brings his light into the darkness to guide our feet into the way of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And so he is that one to whom we long for. So I'll just conclude again with the beautiful words of Sister Emmanuel, I think, to all of us. Dear ones, peace and joy in his heart, our home. I know you hear of so much bad stuff out there in the world, but as long as we have Jesus, we need not fear. We can be happy and full of hope. Our sweet Father didn't leave us orphans, and Jesus came and saved us. He came and is still with us. Wow. Faith is the bird that feels the light and starts to sing when the dawn is still dark.